Bright, good morning, good Saturday morning, St. Louis, and you are tuned in right now to KMOX, the Home Improvement Show. I am your host, Rich Orris, and hey, celebrating 100 years here at KMOX. Not me, KMOX is celebrating 100 years. Scott Mosby, my predecessor, he celebrated about probably almost 30% of that time on live on the air every Saturday, talking to St. Louisans about their homes. And I'm here. Maybe we can get the next 30 years. Let's all hope. That would be great, wouldn't it? So, but I am here, and I am here for the next 2 hours for all of you. We're going to help tackle everything from small fixes to big remodeling dreams, whatever you have. The number to reach me, you guys know this, 314-436-7900. Again, 314-436-7900. So if you've got a question about your home, now is definitely the time to jump in. Plenty of time before for everybody. And here we are. I know it's the Saturday before Thanksgiving, so maybe you've got family coming into town, maybe you're hosting the big meal, and suddenly those projects that you've ignored you've ignored since fall are kind of looking right at you, and they're a lot more urgent for you right now. Well, whether it's a sticky door, a misbehaving garbage disposal, or, you know, a dining room that could use a little quick refresh before your guests arrive, I'm here to help you and all your holiday get ready needs. So grab a cup of coffee, take one last look around the house, and let's talk home maintenance and remodeling right here again, the Home Improvement Show on KMOX. And we're ready for your calls, 314-436-7900. We'll see who's coming up online first here very shortly. But talking about finishing things up and trying to get things completed. I've got some more work happening on the doors I'm installing around my house. It sounded like, you know, they're probably all in, but it's a process, and it's a lot to get through. And so now I've got someone helping me with the exterior of that, and I can go over some of that. What are we doing and why are we doing it? If you're wondering why you would remove the siding from around your door once that door is installed, or to get that door installed, you're going to want to stick around for this conversation. But for now, we're going to jump over to Roy here and see what he's got going on. Roy, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yes, I had when my house was built, I asked them to put a sump pump, and they did that, and I've never, you know, it just sounds silly, but I don't have a motor in there. They have the hole, the pit.
Uh-huh.
How do I, does a plumber, I mean, I don't know anything about it. What, does the motor fit down in that hole, or I've never even taken the cover off to look down there. But
sure.
I, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, I've never put a motor in there. What good is a sump pump, you know, unless you have a motor? Is that right?
You are spot on with that question and that theory. Without the motor, the sump pump is just kind of a collection pit that will only hold so much water before it could start coming in and you know, getting into finished parts of the basement or ruining things that are down in your basement. How old is your home, Roy?
Well, it just sounds crazy. 22 years.
Okay, so so you probably don't have a whole lot of a water or needs for the pump in there right now, but the you're in the right train of thought, because you won't know if until you need that sump pump motor mechanism in there until your basement floods, if you're not looking at it regularly, and no one is looking at their sump pump pit regularly. So, but yes, basically That pit will just fill up with water. If you get enough water around there, it can start coming into the basement. So, and what you have is can be kind of a two-part system to put in, because a plumber can put in the sump pump. They'll put in the pump, the motor, and it just goes down into that pit, and they'll run a PVC line, a 1 1/4 inch or 1 1/2 inch PVC line that goes up out through your band board of your house to the outside of the house. And because it goes up so high, they'll have a what's called a backflow preventer that they put into it, so that any water in that pipe doesn't just dump back down into that pit, kind of filling it back up. So that portion, you need a plumber to do that part, or a super really smart, good handyman that's done a whole lot of plumbing that really knows how to do this correctly. But the second kind of project that you have is, once that pipe goes outside your home, you want to get that water that it pumps out of the home away from the house. So now you need like either that really good handyman that knows how to do pipes in the ground and knows a lot about landscaping and grading, or you need some sort of landscaper or landscaping company that can put a 4-inch pipe, it's a PVC pipe, in the ground at where that the smaller PVC comes out of your house. That'll tie into it, and then they run that pipe at least 10 feet away from your home and kind of empty it out, disperse it out to the grass at least 10 feet or further away from your home. Because if you don't get that water away from the home, you just end up dumping that water right outside your foundation, right back down to your footings and right back into your sump pump. And it's like a big recirculating, kick it outside, it runs right back in. So you want to make sure it runs off, runs downhill, goes far away. Sometimes we might take those pipes out in the yard 20, 30 feet if we need to get to a good spot to get rid of the water.
Wow, that sounds... Do they have to go through the concrete, like your foundation, with this pipe?
No, typically they'll go up to the floor. So if you have vinyl siding on your house, they'll go up to where it's kind of under your floor where there's wood. And they'll drill through the wood, drill through the siding, and send that pipe out. So it goes over the foundation and then back down on the outside.
Boy, that sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it?
It's a little bit of work, yeah.
Can they do that in one day, or does it take...
You can do, they'll do the sump pump and the piping and everything in one day, probably like even half a day. That can be pretty quick. But then the yard work, that could take another day or 2 days, depending on how far you go. Do they put sod back, or do you just fill the dirt and then seed and straw the path where they went underground? So depending on how far they take that pipe and the landscaping, that could take another day or two to get that portion taken care of.
Now, I heard an advertisement on another station with Rotor Rooter. Have you ever heard of them?
Uh-huh, yeah.
That they do these type of things, sump pumps, I don't know whether to call you, or do you people do that too?
We can. We have plumbers that can do that. In getting into the scale of companies just coming out to only do like a sump pump price, pipes and everything, being a full service remodeling company that does everything, we can be a little bit more expensive on just like a simple project like that. But it's because we're going to manage it, oversee it. We've got a project manager that would be attached to it, whether we need it or not. We have responsibilities of all sorts of different types of jobs. Roto-Rooter is a bigger, national plumbing company that does a whole lot. They're really good. They're going to be on the more expensive end. And then going down the food chain of like licensed plumbers in the area will be just a little bit less under like us or Roto-Rooter. And then finding a plumber on Facebook or something that just does this stuff himself that would come out, he's going to be kind of your most inexpensive option, to where if you're looking at kind of like a $1, if you're looking at a menu at a restaurant, it's like $1 sign, $2 sign, $3 sign. It's what do you really want out of the people and the company, that what you get out of it, how do they support it later? If something goes wrong, will they be around, or are you even concerned with that? So you can get wildly varying prices of what it costs to install a sump pump and the pipes and the drilling and all that stuff, depending on the longevity and the type of company that you've brought in to try and get that project done.
Do they tear up your yard a lot when they put that piping out there?
Yeah, because they're digging that thing about a foot underground for the distance that they're running that pipe. So you'll end up with a trench about a foot wide and at least 10 feet long or 20 feet long or something like that. And so it's a matter of how do they put it back together. If you just kind of put it back together, put some topsoil and some seed and straw, that's going to take a little bit longer to come back and come in. If they sod it and strip it and put sod down, they can make it basically look like it never happened. Right now, you're probably not going to be getting a lot of sod,
right?
With the weather, so you're probably into
seed and
straw.
If you were me, would you wait till spring to do that?
I would say the landscaping portion could be good to wait till spring, but contact people and talk to them and see about when, because sometimes, like a company like ours at Mosby Building Arts, with one of us coming around looking at that, figuring that out, sometimes a lot of these projects were about 8 weeks or 2 months away from even performing something like that, just because of the magnitude of all the work we do and how much people want from us. So you don't want to just wait till spring to start talking to somebody about it, because it may be a month or two before they can even get to it.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not, I've lived with it for 22 years. I'm just thinking, sitting here thinking, should I do this? And then I do have a plumber that got his own company, and he comes in and does little things for me. Would that be too big a job for him?
Doubt it. I think if he does stuff like that for you, I would guess that he would be able to handle that for you for sure.
He's
look at the whole thing. But yeah, if he's licensed, he can absolutely do that project without a problem.
Now, let me ask you one other thing, just in the ballpark figure. What kind of money are we talking about?
That's kind of hard, because depending on who they are and who you're getting, I mean, your sump pump could be anywhere from $1,000 to maybe a couple thousand, $2,500, and then your landscaping part could be the same way depending on who you find. It could be $1,000 to $2,500, so you could be two to four or five on the entire thing with the yard work, depending on what type of companies you find.
Could be about $5,000 or $6,000, even, right?
It possibly, yep.
Okay,
sure could.
To me, I'm sort of a perfectionist.
I get that.
My family thinks I'm a little nutty. Said, you've lived there for 22 years. What are you worried about it? I don't know. I like things.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Supposed to be working, work.
And I would tell you this too. Not the home I'm in now, but the home I was in before. I had a sump pump in my pit, and I probably lived in that house for 10 years before the first time I heard that thing run. And then it did run, and eventually I started getting water, and it started running, and it started doing its job. And that's when I went outside and did the pipe outside, because I didn't have the pipe outside going very far. Once I heard it running and it was collecting water, I'm like, oh, I got to get this water away from the house now that it's doing something. So it is a good idea to at least have that thing going outside just in case to protect anything in your basement. But, hey, Roy, I do got to get to a break here.
Okay.
We're going to have plenty more coming up. I appreciate the question and the conversation. And, Scott, if you're still out there, if you want to call back right after this quick news break, we will get to you. For anybody else, you can call in 314-436-7900. Love to help you out. Stay tuned. All right, everybody. Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for you. 314-436-7900. Get you right to me, just like Scott did. Let's go to the phones and see what's going on with Scott. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling back.
Well, I had a little emergency. I got one in the hospital, and when she gets on the line, you better answer it.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what's happening?
Had a toilet bowl that was leaking between the floor and the bowl, and was able to get that out, and the seal had deteriorated, which is where the leak was. We had to cut a piece of the drywall out to make sure that there was another leak going on in the standpipe area. And about a 2-inch break in the upper portion of the standpipe, in other words, there was a T standpipe going to the roof, has got a break in it.
Okay.
I'm guessing, because I'm not a plumber, don't know much about it, that the moisture, you know, the house is 50-plus years old, that moisture had gotten down in there, maybe deteriorated the pipe from the back or whatever, because I, like I said, I don't know how the break got there. My question is to get to it, to patch it as a project in itself, replacement of the standpipe, vent pipe is out of the question financially. Any suggestions on what type of epoxy or something that we might be able to mix and dab it enough to put something over that break or not worry about it? It doesn't seem to be generating an odor that is at least noticeable for the years that it's probably been broken.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. So that pipe goes up out through the roof to get air, but is there not another bathroom above that?
No, it's a one
okay.
floor.
So you're one only floor. Getting moisture if the rainwater that lands inside that 4-inch pipe and runs down the pipe, and you haven't gotten smell, but I would definitely do something with the pipe just because you might get smell later. Then you're like, well, maybe it's not too much of an issue, and you don't do anything, and then you end up getting the smell later, and you're tearing back into the wall to try and stop that. I'm also guessing, is this a cast iron pipe?
Yes. Yeah, it's either original or they had, was one house that they had a couple of rooms onto it, and this is between the addition and the original bathroom.
Okay.
And, I'm guessing the pipe is original when the house was built, which was in 78.
Yeah. So, and so is this like a crack that's long or just a hole that's coming through?
Well, if you saw a window and somebody threw a ball through it, but the window didn't shatter, but it put a hole in it, that's what it kind of looks like looking at it. Or
okay.
It.
So it's more the size of like a dime or a penny or something
I'd
like that?
I'd say it's probably about the size of the bottom of a drinking cup.
Oh, wow. So that's a pretty, yeah, that's a pretty good size hole.
Yeah.
So the thing I see is that would be difficult is in filling that with something, you can't get anything on the back side of it to kind of hold what you're putting in there, and you don't want what you're trying to epoxy it or fill it with to fall in
right
to the right. pipe. So, I mean, money aside and your situation and everything, obviously the first suggestion is going to be, yeah, let's get a real plumber in there and replace pipes and everything. But if that's just absolutely not an option for you, I would consider then instead of trying to fill it, and if it's above the, it's just for air going out the vent pipe and you're not getting moisture, water, all this stuff happening, I would get a rubber boot that's meant for connecting two pipes together. They make like a thinner rubber boot that has like a steel band around it. That's a solid band. So if you get one of those for a 4-inch pipe and you disconnect the band so it comes off where you can wrap it around the pipe, the rubber you'd have to like make a cut. And put the cut, kind of wrap it around the pipe and put the cut towards the back side of the pipe. And then put that metal band around it. And then just be gentle when you're tightening that metal band. I wouldn't get too crazy, but there will be a few spots where you tighten it. Tighten that metal band around it to try and seal it that way. And as long as that hole doesn't change, get any bigger, that can kind of keep your smells and stuff like that out. It's not going to work real super well for a leak, but if it's just a little bit of rainwater every now and then that just runs down the pipe, I think it would probably hold something like that. It's the absolute definition of a Band-Aid that will only last so long, but I think it could get you by. Does that make sense? You there, Scott? Oh, I think we may have lost Scott, but I think that is what will kind of help take care of that, Band-Aid that for a while until you can get the real plumber, the real pipes. Somebody remodels that bathroom in the future. You're tearing everything apart. You can change all those stacks, those pipes. I wouldn't recommend keeping a hole there too terribly long like that, but I think it would get you by, Scott. So, hey, we're going to get into another break here for everybody. Don't forget, 314-436-7900 gets in here. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back with more. All right, everybody. Here we are. More home improvement for you. What do you have going on? What's happening up until Thanksgiving? What are you getting prepared for? How can we help you today? Well, just call in and let us know. Your questions, your topic, your concerns is what this show's all about. It's what makes the show. 314-436-7900 finds me right now. Phones are wide open. And I did want to put another piece and kind of question out there for actually the first caller, Roy, when we were talking about the sump pump and having the pit for years and adding a sump pump and the pipe. And this is another kind of reason, just a full show of like coming out, examining things, taking a look around, in really figuring out where does the pipe go outside, what's happening inside. It's imperative just because the thing I didn't think about with Roy, and if he's had his house for 22, 20-something, 23 years, he probably doesn't have an outlet over there to plug this sump pump into. Nowadays, they would make them do the dedicated circuit over there when they build the house. Even if you're not going to put the sump pump in, they'll have the plug there. Hopefully, when they built the house, they thought enough to put a plug there so there's somewhere to plug it in. If not, the next job's going to be a licensed electrician to run a dedicated circuit. It can't come off of another circuit. And getting its own outlet that goes directly off the panel box just to that outlet to support that sump pump. It needs to be all by itself, and you're going to be in the panel box to do that correctly. and running possibly some distance. So there's another project possibly if the outlet isn't there already. But, hey, we got Billy on the line. Let's see what's going on with Billy. Hey, how can we help you?
Yes, this is actually Felix.
Oh, yes, okay.
I got a couple questions concerning concrete slabs in the driveway. I got about 10 years ago, I put in wood strips between the slabs, and they are beginning to show their life and are rotting out. When I go to replace them, can I replace them with the black expansion joint, or should I put wood back in? And if I put wood back in, can I just put sections that are rotted, you know, like in a strip?
Yeah.
And
Go
ahead.
Oh no! Do you have something else?
Yeah, I got another question. The driveway is getting a little pitted from the salt and everything. Is there a way to top that off with some type of cover, a sealer or something?
Yes.
To fill the gap? And those are the two questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I would do with that wood, it is possible to replace that wood for wood. It is very hard to do because that concrete has moved a little bit and changed sizes, and the wood really needs to be tight to be effective at keeping the water out, and it's hard to get it in there really super tight. And if you just do spots where it's rotted, missing, and you're cutting kind of seams, you're adding shorter pieces, then you're leaving other places for water to potentially get in around the wood, and the goal is to keep the water off of that. So if we take that theory and we add it to your driveway pitting and the spalling marks coming out on your driveway, and we incorporate a sealer for your driveway into this equation, then what I would recommend is In all of those slabs where all that wood is, you basically pull out 100% of that wood and take it all out and get it opened up and cleaned up. You can power wash that whole driveway, clean everything. It'll clean the edges of the concrete where you took your wood out also. And then what you're going to do is you're going to seal that driveway with a penetrating sealer. So that's just one that you spray on and it just kind of soaks into the pores. So you don't see it. It's not a topical coating. It doesn't make the driveway shiny. That type of product will give you a good 3 to 5 years of protection on top of that driveway from moisture getting into the pores. And so now when you get back, you have that on there, you get back to your expansion joints where you took the wood out. The cleaning and the sealer really prep that concrete for some caulk. And so I would caulk all those expansion joints in with a driveway urethane-based sealant caulk that's meant for those areas. And what you do is you start out with a piece of foam. It's called a backer rod. And you can buy this foam. It'll come from a quarter inch, like round piece of foam rope. It'll go all the way up to inch and a half. And so you kind of measure those widths and see where you're at. Buy your foam backer rod a little bit wider. So if it's measuring 3/4, buy the 7/8 or the 1 inch, and you kind of put that down in there between the slabs and just put it down low enough where you're going to have a good half inch of caulk on top of that foam, and that'll reassure you're only caulking where you need the caulk. You're not trying to fill up 4 inches of concrete with caulk, just the top half inch, and then you caulk that on top of that. It'll stick really good to the sides of the concrete because you cleaned it and sealed it, and then that will keep all of the water out until that concrete moves. Again, with that caulking, you might get 3 to 5 years, just depending on the movement that you have in that driveway and the separation and the expansion and contraction. You might need to redo that after a few years, some of that caulking. But that's what I would have you do overall for the whole project.
Okay, so basically, I don't want to have to do this next spring. I didn't power wash already. I'm going to have to re-power wash it again, pull out all the wood, basically get it sealed with either roller or a spray sealer, and then go in and put the caulking strips in there, and then add a caulking on top.
Yep.
Silicone caulking on top of that.
Yep, it's a look for a driveway expansion joint caulk. It'll be a urethane base. It's pretty okay. Sticky. If your driveway is pretty flat, you can get a self-leveling version that kind of flattens itself out. If it's a steep driveway, then you'll need the version that doesn't do that. And the only thing in your order I would do is I would take the wood out prior to power washing next time. Because if you power wash those edges, it'll help that caulk stick really well and seal the edges.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, well, I think I can get by with self-leveling because it does have, obviously, a slight slope, but it's not drastic.
Yep. Yep, and I got one more trick for you. If you really want to try and take your time with this and make it look really good, Felix, what you can do, and it's a slight bit harder with the timing on the self-leveling version, but if you get some sand, like a bag of sand, and you watch as that caulk sets up, when it's kind of sticky but solid enough that something won't go through it, you can just kind of lightly pour that sand over that caulk and then just leave it there. And then the next day, you can come back with a blower, like a leaf blower, blow off the excess sand, and it'll kind of put that sand on top of that caulk where it looks like concrete. It will be a really good-looking job if you could perform that successfully with the sand. It looks great.
When you pour that sand, can you use a strainer to do it?
Yeah, or I just like a cup or something, just kind of lightly shake it and just dabble it over it to just create a thin layer. The trick is waiting until, if you do it right away with the self-leveling, the sand will just fall into the self-leveling caulk because it'll be so soft. It'll kind of disappear.
You need to wait an hour or two.
Yep, you need to wait. Yeah, let that set up for 2 to 4 hours and kind of touch it and see how it feels. And then when it's kind of stiff but super sticky, start just lightly brushing that sand over it and then just let it sit. It'll look great. All right,
now,
Felix?
What about the pitted holes in the concrete from the salt over the years?
There's not a lot you could do with those. You could try and fill them with some sort of concrete patcher. It's going to look different, and it's only going to stay so well. It won't last very long. You might find yourself repatching them all the time, and you might see them even worse because of the color difference. I would say if they're not too bad, I wouldn't even try and fill them. Just leave them and keep your driveway sealed to help prevent too many more from happening. You still might get more, but it'll be less of them.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and have a good day.
All right, you too. Appreciate the call. Hey, we're going to get into our last break here for this hour, but everybody out there, when we come back, 314-436-7900 finds me. Don't go anywhere. All right, we're back. Home Improvement Show. Hey, guess what? We've got a whole nother hour after this quick segment. Plenty of time for everybody out there to join in, jump in, whatever you have going on, maybe some projects before Thanksgiving here, 314-436-7900 finds me. Anything you need on, about, around your house, top to bottom, side to side, we've got you covered. Again, 314-436-7900. I only got a couple minutes, but I wanted to kind of touch on the doors that I've been working on in my house. And last week we had Bob call in, and he was doing the same thing and was talking about the paint to use on the exterior of a fiberglass door. And I've been kind of doing this for a while, touching it every now and then, maybe once a month, talking about what's happening, updates, because remarkably, and I know a few months ago, I'd been talking about trying to get the doors ordered and trying to get them in, and they came in damaged and everything that happened. And believe it or not, I was looking back because I was thinking about this timeline, and I'm in November now. I was definitely long hoping to have this completed. Got three of the outside doors painted on the exterior, but have a fourth one that I haven't been able to do yet. And now with the way things are going, it might end up being springtime before I can even get to that fourth one. But believe it or not, I ordered these doors on July 8th. I kind of told some stories and talked about the first door came in damaged, and then two other doors came in damaged a couple weeks after that. So basically took double time to get through these orders and get these doors in and to get them in a condition that they're good and installable and not damaged. So I received the last door on November 4th. So it's been a couple weeks now. We've been getting to the fact of painting and putting this one in and doing some stuff around all of it. So yeah, it's amazing the time that can take in order to get all that accomplished, but also the time in thinking about it and just what we call that procrastination phase of like, I've talked a couple times about how the first time I started looking at these doors and painting the old doors going, man, I really need to replace these, and started looking at what can I replace it with. That was 5 years ago, folks, 5 years. And so procrastination, trying to get to it, having other things come up, other things in life happening. There's a lot that happens to kind of create that procrastination time of when do you get to things and when do you finally get them done. So, but in the next hour, in the second hour, we can talk about how I'm taking the outside of these doors apart and why, and flashing them to keep water out and how you do that and why. And we can also talk about just that procrastination phase and why do we all do it. So, hey, stick around, get with me in the next hour, and we'll have more home improvement for you.